Thank you. Good afternoon. Thank you guys for staying for the last talk of the day. Wish I had a joke for you, but I don't. So just bear with me. Since my colleague Rosa talked about some of the epidemiology that's done in our EDC Epidata Center, I want to provide to you some of the technical aspects of our operation, our data management process, if you will. Okay, the objectives of this presentation, I'm going to be talking about the benefits or significance of collaboration among the IT staff and the epidemiologists in support of automated disease surveillance. I'll discuss the databases we maintain in order to support our surveillance activities in the military health system, and also describe the methods developed by our programmers and our DBAs to make these data useful for our epidemiological analysis. Okay, a little background. The Epidata Center receives data from different sources, lots of different sources, including the Defense Health Services System, or our DHSS. Now, our Defense Health Services System is a centralized data store, or a data repository, for our military health system. I'll show you on the next slide about some of the data that they collect. But they collect, process, and manage billions of healthcare records for all the services, for all branches of the services, and any person that receives treatment at any of the military treatment facilities, or anyone that's paid for by the Department of Defense. Now, the EDC receives extracts from several of their data systems, including Health Level 7. So a methodology has been developed by our EDC programmers and epidemiologists to utilize these data for infectious disease surveillance, for our case-finding efforts, and for our clinical epidemiology. Now, this slide looks a little complicated, but I just want to mention some of the portions of this picture that are applicable to this presentation. Now, as I mentioned a little earlier, most of our data comes from our Defense Health Services System. And here are some of the data systems that they manage for all the branches of service. And we received extracts or have direct access to many of these data systems. So I want to draw your attention to our CHCS, which is called our Composite Healthcare System. Now, this is actually a central hub or the data repository that each of the medical treatment facilities have access to. This is where our Health Level 7 comes from. So all of the medical treatment facilities, your hospitals and clinics, have access to a CHCS system. Now, over here is our pharmacy data transaction system, which feeds into the CHCS system, as well as other data systems. Now, I wish I had a picture of a deer crossing here. This is our DEER system, which is our Defense Enrollment Eligibility Reporting System. Now, that's a repository of all the service members, the retirees, dependents, family members who receive TRICARE benefits. So it's quite huge. And like I said earlier, we have access to almost all of this data, but we do get direct extracts from the CHCS system. And I want to see over here. We call their SADR and CAPR encounter records. That's our ambulatory data or our outpatient records. So when you go to the ER, we have access to all the ER visits. Now, this feeds into what they call the military health system, MDR. And then the data is cleaned, processed, filtered into a web-based M2 system. Now, we do have direct access to this system, but we very rarely use it. Most of our data extracts for EPI purposes is from our raw database or from our data repository instead of the M2. Okay, here's our disease surveillance model at the EPI Data Center. This is still under development. So when existing surveillance tools such as Essence, over here, can't answer questions that our customers have, We then access our relational database. Now our database, which uses unique identifiers to link the three types of data, can provide researchers additional information needed to answer their questions. Now the three types of data are demographic. So demographic data usually comes from this one here called our Defense Manpower Data Center, and that's all of our active duty, retirees, deployed personnel or military. And we have outcomes data. This is our pharmacy, our labs, radiology, exams, the HL7. And then there's behavioral and occupational risk factors from surveys taken from our EDHA, which is our pre and post deployment health assessments. So with all this data, our epidemiologists have conducted studies down to the individual level in our recruits, our active duty, and beneficiary population, and such studies as the Guillain-Barré syndrome, Fusarium eye infections, Acinetobacter baumannii, pediatric lead, and many others. All right, here's some of the databases that we have at the EDC. And the data we have incorporates all branches of service, as Rosa had talked about earlier, not just Navy and Marine Corps. So you can see from this column, if it's Department of Navy or Department of Defense, and we even have some Coast Guard data. As you can see, we have data as early as 1997, but the majority of our data does represent the last 5 years. We have hundreds of millions of records of data, okay? Our databases include, which is our department, their active duty deployment and reserves, our Defense Manpower Data Center. This is our driving database. This is our driving table that we get the denominator data from. And our DEERS, I mentioned earlier, is our Defense Manpower Data Center, our DEERS is Defense Enrollment Eligibility Reporting System. Then our HL7, as Rosa had mentioned, our anatomic pathology, chemistries, micro, biology, pharmacy, radiology, all of this lab data. And our PRINCE data is our Physical Readiness Information Management System. And then what we call SITR, our inpatient data. SATR is our outpatient data. And we receive the SITR data on a monthly basis. We receive the SATR data on a weekly basis. All of our ER or outpatient we get on a weekly visit basis. And going back up a little bit, our HL7, we get daily feeds. We get this daily, so we're constantly streaming in the data. The last two, the NDRSI, Rosa had mentioned and talked about, it's our Naval Disease Reporting System. This is a real-time web-based reporting system. This was built in-house, and it's currently under discussion to be adopted for all the branches of service. So he had asked the question about the Naval Disease Reporting System, if it's going to be adopted. Yes, there is discussion now for this disease reporting system to be adopted by all the branches, the Army, the Air Force. The Coast Guard already uses the system, okay? And then the EDHA is our pre and post deployment survey assessment. But for this talk, our disease surveillance, we rely heavily on our HL7 laboratory data. Okay, now with all this data, being in the federal government, the DOD, security is the number one priority. We go to great lengths in making sure our data is secure and remains secure. Once the data is received through a secure node, the DBA transfers the large files, which are actually encrypted and compressed, into a storage area on the server. And the data is also backed up for disaster recovery efforts. And we all know that data validation is very critical to public health. So we've built in processes. They're in place that before the data gets uploaded into the production database, it's validated for anomalies, such as missing or skewed data. And our other data validation, such as frequencies and distribution analysis, they're performed by our programming staff due to the huge volume of records before it becomes available to our epidemiologist. Okay. Now, our database administrators have automated processes in place for standardizing and normalizing all this data using the current ETL tools available. Our implementation of ETL, of course, is SSIS, which is Microsoft SQL Server's integration service package. And this particular SSIS package has components or sequential steps to complete a task. For example, the first step prepares the SQL microbiology table, and the second step consists of multiple steps to process the microbiology data. And then the third step date stamps the records, and the fourth and final step refreshes the particular reference table. All right. So here at the Epidata Center, we currently have 12 epidemiologists on staff, each working on multiple projects. And that results in multiple and large numbers of data requests. So to handle all those data requests, we've developed a tracking system. So our epidemiologists request the data through the tracking system, and our lead programmer assigns the data request to another programmer. So when the programmer writes the SQL code and produces the results, it's then passed on to another programmer for QA testing. And once it passes the QA test, then the result sets are given to the epidemiologist for analysis. And of course, they analyze it and then build the reports. All right, in this screen, in some cases, particularly with repeated reports, after the epidemiologist has completed their research or study, the code is reviewed and automated as much as possible. Here's a screenshot of our SQL SSIS case finding. Steps were created to flag records of interest from the HL7 clinical laboratory results and the pharmacy transaction data. And then we apply the data processing steps to clean and classify those records. This was all done in one step. And this slide is a screenshot of the SQL Server's job scheduler for our case-finding project. And this routine job is scheduled to run nightly. The job executes the SSIS package, where it retrieves the data, manipulates the data, and then outputs the data to a specified location all in one step. Now, as we mentioned earlier about the Naval Disease Reporting System, after all the previous steps are completed, the results are disseminated in various ways, and one way is through our Naval Disease Reporting System case-finding module. This case-finding module is where local preventative technicians can confirm or delete suspected cases. And of course, we know this is useful to estimate the overall disease burden and trends in reportable medical events over time. Now, this case-finding module was recently released this year on July 23rd. Other reports, such as our influenza report, is run weekly during the season to keep providers aware of current disease trends. However, because the EDC receives daily HL7 feeds, in an outbreak situation, results can be provided rapidly, as demonstrated in the recent H1N1 outbreak with daily antiviral usage reports. All right, overall, interdisciplinary collaboration is the key to efficiency and timely responses. Our epidemiologists do not have the time to spend doing specific searches. And we saw with millions of records, we know this can be a labor-intense process. They can focus more on the analysis, while our data management and our IT staff is responsible for grouping and organizing the data to make it more efficient and useful for the development of SQL queries and ad hoc reporting. And I want to say last, for better and more efficient and timely reporting or responses, the ultimate goal is to integrate systems, such as our medical data with our safety data, and to create alert functions upon the importation of the data for specific diseases such as the H1N1 flagging of positive lab results. So that's our ultimate goal. And that's all I have. Thank you so much. Do we have questions?
Questions for Teresa?
Yes, more the technical side of the house.
Is it a little old?
We only have 24 hours. 24 hours. Yes. Whoops, how's it go? And this year, this is, remember, we get extracts. Okay, we don't get the whole entire, we don't get everything we need. The Defense Health Management System, they have everything. We get extracts from them. This is our database, our extracts that we need, we use at the Epidata Center. So this may be misleading as far as the Defense Health System goes, but this is for our internal use.
And do you capture high-side SuperNet materials?
We have SuperNet in the high side, but this part goes on a secure node. But
your EPI team analyzes secure?
No. No, we pull the data. The programmers, the IT staff, and they'll get the unique identifiers. We give them encrypted data or the DMBI. Yeah, that is SIPRNet, but
there's a group that works that does a report that's yeah. These non-battle injuries, and that's based on the data that you're
okay.
Questions for Teresa? Do we have any more questions for any of our presenters today? Okay, well, I would personally like to thank Teresa.
Thank you.
Rose and Scott for your presentations. The work that you do is very important. And I encourage you all, if you would like to receive CE credits, to go to the website and fill out the session evaluation. And also complete the overall conference registration. That will help us out tremendously. Thank you, and have a good afternoon.